Okay. Tokyo.
South America.
Australia.
France.
Germany.
UK.
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go. We are off and running on this, the 9th day of February, 2018. This is the Horn. Head On Radio Network is where we head on the radio. Let's try this all over again. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com as well as HeadOn.live are where we live. There we go. That's also where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room. It's easily accessed from either location. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and zing, you'll be right there amongst the merriment, the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. You'll be greeted by 68 AMC 343, by Anatole, by Squeaky, by VT Blom, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable. I think we can call Steve that now, don't you? Yeah, midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator on a Friday, Steve from Georgistan. All around great guy. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Friday on the front porch. And we've got some program notes to go through on the front end of the program here, just to keep everything running smoothly. Ordinarily, this would be a three-hour Friday on the front porch, but I got a call from my good friend Mike Malloy about noonish today, asking if I would mind filling in for him this evening. So I naturally said, sure, no problem. And so consequently, the program will only be 2 hours this evening. We'll go till 8 p.m. And then I'll shut down and retool. And we'll go again from 9 to 11 over at the Truth Seeker campfire. Okay? And it's been a while since I've done this, so a gentle reminder. I'll have the Horn streams up and running, but if you don't mind, please, to the extent humanly possible, whether it be on TuneIn or just by going to the Progressive Voices website or whatever, listen to the Progressive Voices stream. We want to do as much as we possibly can to help make sure that that they get the traffic that they darned well deserved. But of course the chat room will be open. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and HeadOn.live. Click on chat room. Boom, you're there. Same drill, the usual. So that's why the program's only going to be a couple hours. So that means that I will in fact be firing up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in fairly short order this evening, so we can get a good Friday on the front porch in before the 8 o'clock shutdown, okay? Of course, we always have thanks to send out at the beginning of the program every evening. We've got thanks to send out to our merry little band, you know, we happy few, just like it says in Henry V, of subscribers. Thank you to Kathleen in Minnesota. Thank you very, very much, Kathleen. Thank you as well to thank you very kindly to Khalil out in Texas. Thank you, Khalil, for being part of keeping the horn on the air. And thank you to Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee of the Cathedral and Common Sense, Cathedral of Common Sense, for being a subscriber as well. Well, it really can't be approximated or properly stated how important the subscribers are and how important the nightly contributors are in keeping this all on the air. The best way to explain how important the subscribers and the nightly contributors are is to simply say that without you, there would be no program. That simple. It is just that simple. So we've got three subscribers on this ninth day of any given month. Technically speaking, we need 20 subscribers every day. We don't have a single day that's got 20 subscribers in it. Not one. But if you'd like to be a subscriber, you can run over to headonradionetwork.com or headon.live, go through the PayPal interface, and there's a little box there you can check that says make this a recurring monthly donation. You just put whatever amount in the box. Say you put in 10 bucks, and that makes it about less than 16 cents an hour for each hour of programming, less than 50 cents for a full show. God, if I was selling them over on iTunes, I'd have to charge at least 99 cents. By Grapthar's hammer, what a savings. Yes. So that's where that's where you go. That's how you do it. If you hate PayPal, a reminder, if you just despise PayPal, if the mere mention of the word PayPal makes you spit on the ground, then there's always Patreon. We've got a Patreon campaign over there, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, and that's another way to subscribe. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, well, we've got a post office box at a little UPS store, and Boss Man Wayne goes and picks up the mail there. The address for checks and money orders made payable to the horn, not Bob Kincaid, because, you know, I don't see it, is the horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, WV 25801. Okay, so that pretty much covers all the bases. And where do we stand this evening? Well, I'm happy to tell you that I had a lovely note from Chris up in the Northwest Territories earlier this afternoon. And Chris said, if you want to do let's do a Yellowknife challenge, because Yellowknife is in the Northwest Territories there. Chris says, I'm up for that. So there's a challenge on the table this evening. Because we have, let's see, how did it work out last night? We were at 208, so 318. We're at $518 to go to finish the week. 518. So at 518 to go, we have a challenge on the table for $200. The first $200 that come in will get doubled by Chris in the Northwest Territories. So that'll leave us only $118 to go to finish the week. So this is a chance to make your 5 into 10, your 10 into 20, 20, 50. Hell, you can make 100 into 200. You could make 200 into 400, but only 200, okay? There's $200 in matching money on the table, and if we can raise $200, that'll mean it gets doubled. But we got to raise the $200 first. That's how these things work. They're incentives. So, that being the case, hopefully things will be resolved rather quickly that way. Yes, that's right. Bill in Allentown reminds me, there's a Progressive Voices link over at MikeMalloy.com in the top right corner of the site, so you can use that to get there as well. Or it's a widget. You just press the button and Progressive Voices plays. So that works very, very nicely. All right, so all the, well, not quite. Remember, you know, we're doing all this, the fundraising like this, because I've got to get a ton of bills paid so I can get out of town. I will be gone next week. Again, program note, I will be gone next week. Agnes will be running reruns. And that means there will be no live programming Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or the following Monday. That is the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 19th of February. I was really hoping to be on the air on Monday and with a nice little trip report, but it didn't play out that way because I'm not getting on a plane until like, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something, and wind up landing, and given what it's like to land at Jaeger International Airport, Ferg and I will be landing there at about midnight or so and immediately kissing the earth. It can get real exciting landing at Jaeger because Jaeger's basically a flattened mountain, and there's 800 feet of air on one end and 800 feet of air on the other, and an airstrip in the middle. And the crosswinds can get to be a real party. And this is kind of last call, by the way, for the little mini horn-in. I've had a few responses. If you have any interest in showing up for the mini horn-in in New York, I need to know by no later than Sunday. So you know how to reach me, bobkincaid@gmail.com. It's nothing fancy. We're just going to get together somewhere and hang out and chat and meet and greet and say, hi, how are you, and stuff like that. I mean, there's not going to be fabulous door prizes. Bless their hearts, the airlines will not let me bring supplements from Horn Nutraceuticals with me, so there won't be any of those to give away as well. There won't be anything to give away. Nope, not a sausage. Well, you know what? I could bring a few bumper stickers. I can probably fit that in the carry-on. So, yeah, okay, that. Anyway, let me know if you want to get together, and we'll pick a location somewhere in Manhattan, depending on numbers and whatnot, and I'll let everybody know by email. That's why you have to contact me by email. I'll let everybody know by email once we've got a final idea of numbers. So that's where that stands. bobkincaid@gmail.com. Put something in the chat in the subject line like horn in or horn NYC or something like that. That was kind of out of nowhere. Randy in PA says, you shouldn't be so oblivious to concerns over a Wall Street crash. It could affect your program when Wall Street discovers that there's no honor among thieves and systemic collapse takes over. That would affect the banking system and the general economy and thus contributions to your program. It could. It absolutely could. But guess what? Sitting here and sweating over that, I have no power. I have no power over it. And not to hurt anybody's feelings, neither do you. Anybody who is in the market at the mercy of the market. It closed up 331 points today, and a few of the assholes came in from the ledge. But this is it, and the magic phrase that was on the TV all day long was, this is correction territory. And I've even read articles about grizzled old Wall Street traders worried about how the young millennial predators will behave when things get really weird. You know, the little millennial Wall Street, you know, the youngins. Mm-hmm. That's where I mean, that's why, I mean, what do you, the market has been artificially propped up since more or less 2008, and I understand the reasons for doing that. Okay? Because full-on collapse is not good. And we were headed in that direction when Barack Obama took his hand off the Bible on January 20th, 2009. But I'm hard-pressed to figure out, you know, Randy says, you know, I shouldn't be so cavalier or oblivious to it. I'm not oblivious, but it's kind of like that serenity prayer. God grant me the wisdom to change the things I can and to leave alone whatever it is I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference, or something like that. You see it on inspirational posters and shit like that in social service agencies or whatever. That's what there is. And that's what makes the for-profit media coverage of it so laughable. These attempts to tease out meaning from an otherwise dishonest, chaotic process. Because remember, at base level, Wall Street is the dirtiest gaming house in the United States. Now, you walk into any casino, hopefully you walk in with your eyes wide open, and you know that the house always wins. You know that whoever is taking the bets always makes their money from the transactions, not from the wins and the losses. The vig, the vigorish, as it were. But in casinos, they kind of have to at least nominally tell you that up front. Wall Street is the dirtiest gaming house in the world. And the decks are stacked, the dice are loaded, there are breaks on the roulette wheel. And anybody who thinks that those are sheep to be shorn. Okay. Meanwhile, I just got a note from Silent Art Lamar, who says, "All right, get the $200 match, and then I'll match the rest." So that conceivably would take care of everything this evening. If Chris's Yellowknife challenge is met, that knocks down $400, and then Silent R. Lamar knocks down the other $118, which is pretty darn huge. Thank you, Silent R. Lamar. You're freaking awesome, is what you are. And also awesome is Charlene in Rhode Island. Thank you, Charlene. Charlene just knocked out $48 of the challenge, so that leaves $152 to go of the Yellowknife challenge. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very much. That'll that goes a long way. So that, well, it's almost exactly a quarter of the way to matching the challenge. Hopefully other folks will jump in as well. Yeah, see, the gang in the chat room understands. Well, yeah, Steve from Georgistan says, "It depends, Bob. In the casino, you need to know when to quit. If you can walk away, I've done okay at the blackjack table." And, you know, blackjack's the closest thing to an even game in the house. But again, it's about knowing when to walk away. But as 68AMC 343 says, at least casinos give you free drinks. Do they still do that? Oh, there it is. Yeah, Anatole's got the serenity prayer down pat. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, and the forbearance not to strangle the living shit out of people who irritate me. No, I added that last part. Anatole pointing out, casinos find it easier to steal your money when you're sauced. True enough, but there's sauced and there's sauced. You can get pretty well tanked on Wall Street too, thinking that you're out there running with the bulls when you're about to be overrun by the bears. But thanks, Randy, for that observation. I'm not being cavalier about it. It's just that there's not a lot there. 22 minutes past the hour, and of course, this Friday on the front porch, it looks like I'm going to be hosting it tonight. So, let me double check. I'll be hosting Friday on the front porch tonight, so it'll be weird. I can't do what Sparky does and corral everybody into the conversation. If you want to be part of Friday on the front porch this evening, then you have to Skype me. Okay, calling the phone number won't work, I don't think. You have to Skype me, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, and then little by little I'll add other folks into the conversation. Okay. So we'll get that started in fairly short order. In fact, if people who want in on Friday on the front porch want to start Skyping in, once we've got the first call established, I'll just add others to the call. So go ahead and contact me, Bob Kincaid Horn, on Skype. Silent R. Lamar, I don't know why you're not able to get into the chat room. I apologize. Someday we'll have a chat room that's not based on Java, and it'll probably be a whole lot easier to navigate. Java, well, Java is Java. And HTML5 is supposed to remedy a lot of that, but people are still catching up with it. Okay, so yeah, Randy pointing out a 10% drop is considered a correction, and we've had a couple of those. That amount of quantitative easing gave Wall Street essentially free money to gamble recklessly with. Economists are recognizing that now. They shouldn't have dropped the interest rate below 1%. Dropping interest rates gave the bond market a 30-year free ride as bonds go up, as interest rates come down. Unfortunately, in a climate of rising interest rates, which we will have, it is illegal to short bonds. Which may as well have just been written in ancient Greek. No, I probably could have sussed out a little ancient Greek. May as well have been written in Reformed Egyptian. So, thanks, Randy. It's just that, well, the market could not have been allowed to go into free fall unless you were one of those Rand Paul libertarian ophthalmologist types who enjoys that sort of carrying on and thinks that the magic hand of the free market will solve all ills. It's really not so much what happened after the market got saved, or not what happened in saving the market, but what happened after the market got saved that created the problem. We propped up Wall Street without propping up, as the tired old metaphor goes, without propping up Main Street. And now that we're at a point of almost full employment, you know, if you count as full employment people working 2-3 minimum wage jobs at a time for, you know, well, like I said, minimum wage, crap wages. Full employment. There's employment and there's employment. I reiterate the little economic law that I enunciated the other night. Until a single mom can house, feed, clothe, and educate her children on the wages from one full-time job without having to access public assistance, we don't have a good economy. Because, see, we have an economy that's based on the metric of how are the rich people doing? And there's just not enough of them to be statistically significant. There's a lot of single moms. There's a lot of single dads. There's a lot of single moms and dads and dads and dads and moms. Couples. And they're not doing great. The real standard should be that that one job should be enough to meet the basic needs of one's family. And if you proceed from there and figure out what you have to do in order to achieve that goal, things become considerably, the way you look at things changes dramatically. Thank you very kindly to Angel. Thank you very kindly indeed. That means that we have now raised $58 out of the $200 we need to finish the week to the good. And that is large indeed. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Anyway, we'll be getting Friday on the Front Porch going fairly soon. But, of course, there are things that we deal with on an evening-by-evening basis. For instance, for today's edition of This Day in Horn History, brought to you by Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, we're dialing the Horn 9000 time machine 6 years into antiquity all the way back to February 9th, 2012, back before there was any such thing as fill-in fennel. Fill-in fennel comes to you from the hardworking periodontic peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, who, foraging about in the thrown-away produce from the grocery store, found some fennel bulbs and decided to fill in this evening with a completely made-up nutritional supplement, fill-in fennel, from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. It's a proprietary blend, because we're the only ones who got the fennel bulbs out of the dumpster. It's a proprietary blend of vegan, non-GMO, cruelty-free, free-range, cage-free fennel. Gluten-free, too. That we have freeze-dried and dried some more and stepped on and rolled over, crushed and ground and put into little capsules and then put into some leftover pharmaceutical bottles and labeled as fill-in fennel. And it's available to you this evening for the low, low Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Price of only $142, plus shipping and handling, of course, which works out to about $510. Do you have any idea what goes into dumpster diving behind the grocery store? And look, just be glad we're not giving you the shrimp we found back there, okay? Or selling you. We didn't give anything away here, damn it. No, sir. It's fill-in fennel from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Remember, we cut out the middleman, and then we don't pass the savings along to you. You know, I have to say, I've never cared much for fennel, but thanks to fill-in fennel from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, I can get all the fennel bulb goodness my little heart could ever desire each and every day. And, of course, if you order your 90-day supply, we'll be happy to send you a little bundle of credulity strips that you can use in the peace and quiet of your own home to find out that we've already got your money, you're not getting it back, and you have been had by yet another bullshit nutritional supplement hustled by somebody on the radio. Because, of course, you can't be a professional radio program without a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle on the radio. That's right, fill in fennel from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Fills in that broadcast necessity. Yes, indeed. Use no hooks. Post no bills. This side up. FOBCOD. USB. USD. MOUSE. Fill in fennel from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. So, for this day in Horn history, February 9th, 2012, Bob opens this Thorn in the Side Thursday program. We've finally gotten away from all the Wednesdays. Warning the community that there is a locust tree's worth of thorns in the stack. First up is Judge Sonia Sotomayor's appearance on Sesame Street. And as one might imagine, the right wing is having a hissy over it. An outright fit. The ironic thing is that the right wing's tantrum is not over Sotomayor's appearance on the children's program, but rather over the fact that she drops a few lines of gasp Spanish in the midst of the skit, a gutter language as defined by cranky old hateful serial adulterer Newton Leroy Gingrich, Bob remarks. The Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, back when he was Minority Leader, and, well, you know, that's one of the interesting things about history. You can look back to the time when Mitch McConnell was Senate Minority Leader, and you know what? He behaved exactly as if he was the Majority Leader. Mitch McConnell has been running the United States Senate in the process of running over people like poor old Harry Reid for so long that I can't remember when he wasn't screwing up the United States Senate. Got to go a long ways back to find Bill the Cat Killer Frist back there somewhere. A very long way indeed. Anyway, then Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has used his speech at CPAC to workshop his stand-up material. Conservatives are simply more fun than liberals, and there's a reason for that. We're always right, McConnell has said to the drooling audience at the annual gathering. I mean, who would want to hang out with guys like Paul Krugman and Robert Reich when you can be with Rush Limbaugh? Comedy gold. The CPAC clavern also includes speeches by noted bro-fro-mix fetus fondler Rick Santorum. The frothy one has declared the entire global climate change argument as a wholesale scam that has been perpetrated upon the American people in order to take their freedoms from them. A shtick that the nectarine Nero picked up a few years later, slightly modified it, and ran with it all the way to the White House on the back of all the economically anxious Klansmen, Nazi sympathizers, and various and sundry rubes who carried him there. But the gem that comes out of this CPAC clavern is one that is routinely referenced on the Horn to this day. If you're a regular listener, you'll have heard Bob refer to Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist. Well, this is where that reference originated back in 2012, in a speech to the mouth breathers, knuckle walkers, and the trumpansies to be, gathered at a Nuremberg rally, a stump speech, exercising his unique brand of claptrap. Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich says the following: I'm an amateur paleontologist. I spend a lot of time looking at the Earth's temperature for a very long time, and I'm a lot harder to convince than just looking at a computer model. I'm sure Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, has looked at a lot of computer models. Models on the computer, scantily dressed, perhaps not wearing anything at all, computer models. You can certainly tell that Dr. Gingrich, had he become president, would have also been much smarter than the generals, too. Who else have we heard that type of arrogant horseshit from? Coming up in a future edition of This Day in Horn History, the origins of why Bob calls the right wing booger eaters. And that was a brief look into the ghost of Horn past, 2,192 days into antiquity, all the way back to February 9th, 2012, for This Day in Horn History. Brought to you by Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Accept no substitutes. No salesman will call. operators are not standing by, your mileage may vary. I know. Silent R. Lamar pointing out, Bob, oh, wait a minute. Lamar, Ron is not going to take kindly to this, you infringing on his gimmick. Bob, there you go again. Living before Ronald Reagan, when a single house wage winner could fund and feed his or her family on one paycheck. No, it's all a myth. It never really happened. It wasn't real. You know how I know? Because there was no America before Ronald Reagan, boys and girls. No America at all. It's just Christopher Columbus, Ronald Reagan, done. There we go. Mm-hmm. So, well, we find ourselves now about 23 minutes before the hour. And, let me take care of something here. Let me check here. Yeah, Steve, just a few minutes ago. It's always good to be reminded of this. The House always wins, Steve in New York says. And yet, brilliant businessman Donald Trump drove a casino into bankruptcy. You know, the more I think about that, the more I figure there had to be some sort of reason behind that. I wonder whose money got laundered in all those losses. His tax obligations certainly got a good scrubbing, didn't they? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. So it was a busy enough day out there in the wonderful world of Merca. Oh, yeah. Lots going on down there, absolutely. So I figured we'd take a look at a few things that have been bouncing around and not necessarily maybe at the top of the news. Maybe even some cultural stuff. Sorry, just doing some Friday on the front porch work here. Every now and then I accidentally find out that I'm not paying very good attention to pop culture. For instance, I have never heard of, maybe if I ask the grandkids, they can tell me, who Logan Paul is. Are you as ignorant as I? Or are we all just, have we all just moved into our geezerhood? Because see, it turns out that Logan... Oh, okay, thank you. Ron and Raleigh wanting... man, Lamar, you shouldn't have gone and done it. You just shouldn't have gone and done it. Ron and Raleigh just sent me a note. Papers will be served. Silent R. Lamar has overstepped and will be receiving a cease and desist order as soon as my law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe draws them up. I'd think that they just had them in a just maybe have a stack printed up, fill in the blanks and send them out. I mean, there's a lot of people that want to go for that gimmick infringement. Go figure. Okay, I'll look into that. Note coming in from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve on the Gulf Coast. Subject line: mind over matter. In advanced capitalist nations, is that a contradiction in terms? The citizen is not expected to suffer the not so sweet mercies of the market. Rather, the market is supposed to be corrected by the government. Go stand in the corner. It's been corrected. By the priority of the people and the value expressed in a commonwealth. If capitalism is a good, it is more good when it is subservient to those it is most likely to ignore. It does not ignore the wealth of its preferred class by definition. The market, then, is that class. It amazes me that the majority of Americans have been deluded into thinking they are any part of that class rather than its constant enemy and material objective. The market in a capitalist economy is a very hungry beast, and the rest of us look to them like snacks. Yeah, I know. I hadn't either. Ron and Raleigh just looked up Logan Paul and said, "Who the hell is this guy?" I was saying that only moments, well, a scant hour ago as I prepared for the program. Apparently he's a YouTube sensation who's yanking down double-digit millions of dollars a year. No, Scott and Punky. That's not that overly sweet Jewish table wine. That's Mogan David. This is Logan Paul. As between the two, I think I would prefer the Mogan David. But he makes prank videos. And now he's in trouble. America, which can't even... America, a country in which roughly half the population doesn't bother to vote in regard to how it will be governed, is up in arms over a prank video by this person I've never heard of, this multimillionaire, who's about apparently, 21, 22 years old or something, who does things like saying, for everybody who retweets this, I'll take the Tide Pod Challenge. And then says, that was a joke. Because it's real funny when the little tweeners and preteens and kiddies who follow him take the Tide Pod Challenge and wind up in the, emergency room or, I don't know, sometimes the morgue. But now he really is. He's in deep shit with YouTube, because YouTube has pulled some videos of his, and there's quite the Sturm und Drang out there. This is a manifestation of the whole Andy Warhol, in the future everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. Well, and some of them will become millionaires in those 15 minutes. Apparently, this Logan Paul character has electrocuted a rat. No, really. Has electrocuted a rat on one of his YouTube videos. And, of course, it got oodles of views. Yeah, last year, Forbes says he brought down about $12.5 million in advertising revenue from YouTube. And he electrocuted a rat using a taser. And this, of course, set a nation of people who can't, half of whom can't be bothered to vote, on its ear. He's mocked suicide in a forest in Japan that is famous for being a place where people go to commit suicide. He sells a bunch of merch. He's got 16 million subscribers, 3 billion views. He's done things like running across the famed Shibuya crossing in Tokyo and throwing pillows at cars. He went into a store and smashed a Game Boy and took a video of it and made oodles of money off of that. He's thrown Pokeballs at people. The 3 videos I've described have pulled in something like 60 million views. A 500,000 people have signed the Change.org petition calling for him to be removed from for the Logan Paul channel to be removed from YouTube. And then this line at the bottom of the USA Today story, Logan Paul's representatives did not immediately return a request for comment. Really, his representatives? Yes. What's that line? Amused to death. I imagine, like, day after tomorrow, we'll find out that Logan Paul is marrying a Kardashian. Are there any Kardashians left to marry? I realize I'm running right up to the edge. Well, okay, I crossed a geezerdom. It's pathetic. Logan Paul. Famous for electrocuting a rat. You know what? I'm so old, I can remember when we had rock and roll guys who were drunk and stoned out of their minds and bit the heads off bats and chickens and stuff like that on stage. I remember when rock and rollers like Alice Cooper, well, not like Al, I remember when Alice Cooper had this thing where he would fake his own hanging or his own beheading on stage, and little stoned people out in the audience would scream in horror. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, good. You guys are working it tonight, Ron and Raleigh. Wait, what? You mean he electrocuted Rand Paul's hairpiece? P.S. We're in deep shit, aren't we? When this mindless shit makes you a millionaire, you can't fall much further. But I won't tell you, I won't say that it's not tempting. I'm strongly tempted to figure out a way to put this program on YouTube, and because Logan Paul's not the only one paying the bills that way. Of course, if you were watching on YouTube, you'd have to put up with the ads. And, you know, we've got a number of different ways to get the recorded version of the program. But I clicked a no thank you box the other day on Podbean. We've got a number of listeners over on Podbean, podbean.com. And it said, gosh, we'd love to partner with you, Bob. We'd like to put some ads inside your podcast. You don't have to do anything. If you find out there's an ad running that you hate, you can contact us and we'll just take the ad out and replace it with another ad that maybe you won't hate so much. Gosh. Can we do that? And I clicked no. Maybe I should have clicked yes. throwing pillows at automobile drivers in Shibuya Crossing. I know what they're talking about. I've seen video. Not his video, but I know what they're talking about. Man, that sucks. It'd be really cool to go places and maybe shoot a little video and talk about the significance of a place that no one knew about. Hell, I don't even have to be in the place, and I talk about that kind of stuff all the time here. This is not self-promotion. I don't do that. But with that in mind, just remember, there are little tweener, preteen, kitty eyeballs who have turned a guy who electrocutes rats into a multi-millionaire. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'd really like to get what little Friday on the front porch we can do going. And again, here's how it has to happen. If you want to do Friday on the front porch, you have to Skype me. On Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. If you've never sent me a contact request, send me one. That'll put us in contact. And then you Skype me, and I'll bring you into the conversation. Okay? Billable Rick, just got your email. Ron and Raleigh, now they're just fucking with you. Bob. Rick being a lawyer, okay? Oh, no, that's not gimmick infringement. I said it four times. I missed your show this Wednesday, Pool League, and yesterday waited at home for delivery of Jackson Brown tickets for tonight that remained 50 miles away and never arrived. Oh, that had to suck. Could you please summarize what you talked about so I don't have to go way back into Horn history? Much obliged. No, that's why the archives are free, Billable Rick. And besides, just jingle into the front porch group. Or here, I'll see if I can do that. We'll see if I'm any good at that. Okay. Oh, I did it. I'm so proud of myself. Okay, let's see if I can get one more in there. Meanwhile, Barbecue Todd says, the mob way to run a casino is skim and launder money until the practice won't pass the smell test. Walk away, file bankruptcy, and move on the next illegal financial scheme. Subject line, Trump Taj Mahal. Oh, well, yes. EAGLES. Some lovely stories coming out of the Eagles' Super Bowl parade. Like the guy who brought the urn with his wife's ashes with him to the parade. And he did so, he said, because she was a lifelong diehard Eagles fan. And at one point, a police officer walked across the street with a beer in hand and handed it to the guy holding the urn and said, it's from those guys over there. Merca. Yeah. Scott and Punky with a note. At the Olympics opening ceremony, Pence refuses to stand for any country except the U.S. Mike Pence isn't feeling the Olympic spirit. Well, Mike Pence is having a very hard time. He's in a feud with an Olympian over his support for gay conversion therapy. Yeah, further reporting coming in from Ron and Raleigh, who reminds Billable Rick, you're in material breach, Billable Rick. And he says, see link to Vanity Fair article about this asshole, And lo and behold, it's an article about Logan Paul. Oh, what have I done? I've brought something into the Horn Family Community Congregation consciousness that had no business being there. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, well, so while Logan Paul is yanking down $12.5 million a year, we've got we got $142 to raise to finish the matching challenge, courtesy of Chris in the Northwest Territories, the Yellowknife Challenge. And then Silent R. Lamar, if that happens, will kick in the remainder. And we'll be done with fundraising for the week, and that will be cool, because I was quite convinced we were not going to be able to do that. But it's amazing. We're that close. Over at Vanity Fair, why Logan Paul should really worry us. It's not so much the popular, controversial YouTuber himself, but what he represents. Oh, dear God. 22-year-old mega vlogger who has the attention of some 15 million subscribers. On December 31st, Paul uploaded a video from his travels in Japan detailing his trek into the famous Aokigahara suicide woods near Mount Fuji, where he found a man who had apparently recently hanged himself. Paul showed the body with his face blurred out and filmed his own reaction, at first stunned and then, well, one might say, amused. Ugh. Yeah, Silent R. Lamar, by the way, says, don't do it, Bob. Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Talking about YouTube. He says, you deal in facts. YouTube won't let you run. Okay, meanwhile, Matt in San Francisco with a note, subject line merely Pence. He gets flustered around all those men with muscles. If he stands, you'll see he has a banana in his pocket. Oh, absolutely. You happy to see me, or is that a banana in your pocket? Yeah. Thank you, Matt. That's the best laugh of the evening so far. Oh, how cool. A picture of respected Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and our very own Ron in the far frozen north's daughter. That's just awesome. He was in San Francisco today, Trudeau was. All right, then. It's exactly 7 p.m. And again, if you want in on Friday on the front porch, you have to contact me and I'll add you to the group, okay? Because I don't necessarily know who wants in and who doesn't. But we do have, with Sparky taking a long weekend, we have a few folks on hand for conversational purposes, including all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Bob, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know if you could or not because my mute button's not working, so I'm having to mute it manually. But let's forget the technicalities. It's working, and that's all that counts. So how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm good. I'm reasonably happy. I know I'll be tired at the end of the evening because it's funny. There's just kind of a crossover point, but after that third hour into the fourth hour, you cross the third hour barrier, and it's like some sort of a talk radio event horizon or something, but we'll get through.
Yeah, I'm excited that you're filling in for Mike tonight. That ought to be a hoot.
Well, I'm presuming at about 8 o'clock, I'll connect with the folks from Progressive Voices, and we'll go from there.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. And you're going to keep this chat room running?
The chat room will stay open, and I'll mention it on air if anybody wants to come in and say howdy and participate.
Well, perfect.
Yeah.
Really don't have much topicality to discuss.
Oh, I do, but I do. I do.
More of a philosophical thing that I was pondering around in my head today.
Well, ponder away.
You know, I watched Sarah Huckabee, and I remember watching Spicy, and I don't know how these people can just stand up there and just out and out lie, and just knowing that they're lying.
I can answer that real easy.
Money?
The check keeps clearing.
But that's like selling your soul. I know we don't believe in any of that, you know.
Dude, that's what that's the entire capitalist system in a. There's an old joke that the punchline to it. You know, it's becoming a thing around here that we just do the punchlines. We're very close to being that joke about the folks sitting on the porch of the old folks' home, and they're all sitting in rocking chairs, and one says, and there's a new guy. The new guy walks up, and somebody says, 13, and all the people sitting in the rocking chairs go, ha, 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 ha. And a little bit later, another one says, 76, and they, ha, 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 ha. And the new guy says, what gives? And he says, well, listen, we all know each other's jokes, so we just numbered them because, you know, we don't have that much time left, and we don't want to waste it on the details, so we just tell the number, and we all remember the joke, and we laugh. And he says, why don't you try? And he says, 51? And everybody just looks at him stone-faced, and he says, what? He says, you told it wrong. we're getting to that point. No, I mean... That's okay, that's okay. There's a punchline out there that says, we know what you are, now we're just negotiating the price.
Well, I don't know if you can recall this or not, but there was a Bush spokesman named Scotty McClellan. Stephanie called him Puffy McMoonface, and he finally came clean. I guess his conscience just got the best of him, or he needed to make money off a book. And he finally came clean and just said he just couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't get up there and just lie day after day after day. And I'm wondering if there's anybody else out there that's going to have the same kind of epiphany. We need to expose this crap. I mean, I just don't know how anybody could do it other than money. My goodness, I couldn't. I don't think you could either. I mean...
But we're not Republicans, okay? I mean, look, okay, so we were talking about Logan Paul a minute ago, but consider Flush Flembaugh. Now, here's a miserable soul whose life was so empty that all he could do was chew up OxyContins for the refreshing burst of flavor just to try to make it all go away so that he could stand to open the microphone for 3 hours a day and just tell lies.
That's true. Sin is made out there to get him. And
you know what? He's got one of those. He's got one of them Kenneth Copeland jets. He had one before Kenneth. Hell, Kenneth Copeland may have bought his used. There's big money and a wife in a pit. He's got a wife in a pit. You know, when's the last time you saw Mrs. Limbaugh or even heard of her?
Wasn't he dating, and if I'm incorrect, I apologize to Ms. Tash, but wasn't he dating Dana Bash from CNN at one time?
No, that was a different CNN talking head, and it didn't work out. And there's a different Mrs. Limbaugh in the pit. I can make your life a living hell. It puts the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again. Inside your General Steel building. And I'll listen to your screams over my Bose Wave radio.
Yeah, and he did peddle all that.
I lost track of the I lost track of the shit that I stopped buying because it was on his program.
Yep, I remember Fox News Inception. They used to semi tell some truth sometimes. Now they're just totally off the deep end. Hannity is as bad as, you know, these spokespeople. They just get up there and lie time after time, and they have to change in mid-sentence their own story. I guess there's big money in being a two-faced liar. I mean, I don't know how else to articulate it.
Well, there's never been any... what did Mark Twain say? Be good, and you'll be lonesome?
I guess I'd prefer to be lonesome, Bob. I don't know.
Well, look, like I said last night, you just keep behaving yourself, and when you get yourself all the way back to fully recovered, you can have one of those bottles and not a beer again.
Yeah, kind of looking forward to that, but currently it's not on the menu.
But I want you to know, if everything works out, next week I will be thinking of you when I walk through the hallowed doors of Katz's Deli.
There you go. Oh, I've never... Well, yeah, I have been there back in the day, but now I have to order and have it flown in.
But, the bowl of matzo ball soup with the matzo ball the size of a baseball, and I'm going to be on it. Oh, I'm going to be
on
it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll starve myself to make sure my blood sugar is behaving itself. The pastrami, the corned beef, but, oh, my God, the garlic sausage. Have you ever ordered the garlic sausage when you had it shipped in? Holy cow.
Now, I did get the matzo ball soup, and you're
they
right.
They shipped that?
Yes, they freeze it, flash freeze it somehow, and it comes with a vacuum sealed bag, and it is that those balls, they're as big as almost a softball, between a baseball and a softball, and it was just incredible.
I'll never forget the one time I was there before. I was there with, of course, the irrepressible Tara Devlin, and...
God bless her. I love Tara.
I was standing there just looking all wide-eyed and hillbilly at the menu board, and some intensely impatient New Yorker was behind it. What do you want, for God's sakes, huh? I'm like, well, I don't know. And Tara steps up and says, Bob, you're just too nice. You gotta go at it. You're in New York. You gotta be hungry for what you want. And the hillbilly will have the garlic sausage and the matzo ball soup.
I think they may have changed the protocol. Now you grab a ticket when you go in, and they don't charge you until you leave. So just be mindful of that.
No, it's something like I'm sure
rack up a bill. Yeah,
I'm sure I'll fuck it up somehow or another. But but I'm gonna do it with a smile on my face. So
yes,
I'm looking forward to that. Well, let's check in around the room. Hey, good evening to Scott and Punky.
Hey, Bob.
Welcome to Friday.
I imagine my surprise. I woke up late, okay, and I'm puttering around doing the usual thing.
What are you, in fucking Sydney now? I mean, what do you mean
late? No, I was up late watching shit on Netflix last night and got a little bit whacked out on my sleep schedule. Normally, I'm up an hour or two before this, you know? But anyway, I'm in the kitchen, you know, fixing my old cheapo instant coffee, and Punky has flown in to be on my shoulder as I do it to make sure I don't miss a step or something. And usually when I wake up after 3, instead of waiting to listen until I've fired up the computer, the laptop, I'll just plug the speaker part that all of my audio goes into the phone and pull up the show on the phone. And that way I can listen while I'm getting the computer set up and all that happy horseshit. So I'm sitting here and I hear the distinctive sound of a Skype call. And I'm saying, well, who the hell would be calling me on Skype? And I look and it's you. And I said, oh, glory be. What a lovely surprise.
Well, you're here. Punky's here. Or have you exiled Punky to the bathroom again?
No. He's on my shoulder. He's being remarkably quiet.
Well, I saw a photograph of Punky on Facebook the other day, and he is a noble bird.
Well, that was taken at the old place before I moved here this past July. One of his favorite things, I would open the medicine chest in the bathroom a little ways. Oh, here he goes.
There we go. Yeah.
And he would get up on the mirror and turn around and then look down so he could see the reflection of his little birdie friend. And he doesn't have that type of mirror here.
Who is able to hang, his little birdie friend who hangs upside down. And maybe a bat. Yeah.
Yeah. So watch out. The rock and rollers will bite your little birdie head off. But anyway. And wouldn't you know it, today would be the day when I don't have a particular thing on my mind to bring to the front porch.
Oh, that's okay. I saw the clown photograph last night. I can handle this part.
Yeah, I mean,
you poor bastard.
Radio remotes, and here's the weird thing: the owner of the station was a real cheap guy. Okay,
cheap radio station owner? I've never heard of one of those.
He sprang for the telephone line from the remote at the shopping center. Okay, he paid for the rental of the clown costume, so that was okay. He bought the balloons with the call letters emblazoned on them, you know. But would he spring for a helium tank?
No, shit's expensive. What do you think you got lungs for?
Well, yeah, but I was a smoker back then, a dedicated two-pack-a-day smoker. And it never dawned on
Did the blue of your face manage to make it through the clown white? Is that what you're saying, Scott?
Yeah, it was one of those lovely sky colors that you see in certain impressionist paintings, you know? It was that azure blue, cornflower blue, I guess you would, I don't know.
So, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Hey,
I'm okay.
Good. I was just going to quickly interject. What the hell were you doing clown radio for there?
This was before the right wing took over radio. I was kind of a forerunner without knowing it.
Okay.
But,
okay.
No, it was for a remote for the first radio station I ever worked at. But I was telling Bob, you haven't lived until you've done a remote in full clown regalia, blowing up balloons with the station's call letters on them. It never occurred to me to
just but what a schmuck. Nobody wants a balloon with air in it. Everybody wants a balloon with helium in it so you can let it go and watch it fly away.
I know. But when you're young, that's why God created teeny tiny FM radio stations out in the boonies, you know, so that you could make those types of mistakes without
too much. No offense, but I saw your clown photo, and dude, I had nightmares.
Was it as bad as John Wayne Gacy's?
Yeah, it was along those lines.
Well, it wasn't as good as John Wayne Gacy's. Let's say John Wayne Gacy was better at it.
Hold on, I got to look under the house. Something stinks.
You know you forgot something there, huh, Scott?
Yeah, where's my shovel? Jesus, I don't know, but would you believe that was at night?
He's making a punk. He's making a punky suit.
Yeah.
Oh no! Oh, punky's panicking. Oh no! Save him.
That was in 1973.
And of course the necessary. And let's go to Scott on remote at the at the World's O' Fun Shopping Center. Scott, are you with us?
It was Mr. Sunshine.
Mr. Sunshine, are you with us?
The WESM station clown. Well, hello there, boys and girls, my old buddy Mr. Sunshine.
There's a lot going on down here.
Yes, a hell of a lot going on down here. But that was a weird year. I was there about a year at that station, on duty, the night shift, 6 to midnight. I was there the day Spiro Agnew resigned, doing rip and read, you know, the old AP wire, which was in the bathroom of the station. Okay.
Oh,
no, I swear it was.
He's not lying.
A little place called Prince Frederick, Maryland, about 45 miles southeast of D.C. Okay, in southern Maryland, tobacco and fishing. In a little cottage, what was a two-bedroom cottage at one time, one of the bedrooms was, or the living room, I guess, was the studio, and there was a little closet kind of affair for the production studio, and then two offices, and then in the kitchen, everything had been ripped out, and that's where the transmitter lived. And then beyond the kitchen sink and the transmitter was the restroom with a sink and a toilet in it, okay? And the AP machine was in the bathroom, okay? And it was one of those old clunky teletype AP machines, clackety clackety clack, and you had to change the ribbon.
Right.
Oh God, yeah. Ribbon change.
And see, that tells us how far technology has come today, because now instead of having the news service wire in the bathroom next to the toilet, now if you've got Fox News wire, it comes out of the toilet into the radio station.
Yeah.
Can I have a cowbell for that?
I think so, Bob.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to check.
Anybody who's worked radio of that era remembers the buff-colored continuous feed paper.
Yeah, every roll weighed, what, 5 pounds?
No, this was
this was the fanfold stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the tractor?
No, it didn't even have tractor. It came up through the mechanism, up over around the platen, and then up and out over the back of the machine, if you did it right.
Yeah. Okay. You were fooling with that at the same time I was fooling with the 5 pound rolls of yellowish colored, almost newsprint stuff that the UPI machine used.
Yeah. Well, we used AP. But someone had made, see, this is back in the early 70s. When toilet tissue came in pastel colors, one of the colors was pale yellow.
Yeah, cancer. Weren't those cancer-causing colors?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's why you don't see them anymore.
Right. But, well, that's just another case of government regulation destroying our freedom to have butt cancer.
Hey, look, if we don't watch your ass, who's going to? You know? That's my thing with the government. But the paper in the old AP machines was this buff-colored fan-fold paper, and someone had created a little brass label for the toilet tissue roll holder in the bathroom, which doubled as the site of the AP machine, and had put a little message on it saying, not for AP use, next to the pastel yellow toilet tissue. So,
there we go.
But
yeah.
You could... That was the nice thing about it. You could, if you were sitting there doing something that took a while, you could catch up on the latest news and sports and stock tables while you waited for it to happen.
Yeah, in real time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. None of these doctor's office, the 17-year-old magazines in your restroom. No, sir.
No, yeah. Ancient copies of U.S. News and World Report.
Well, I hate to, I'm not trying to press the matter too much, but I've only got about 40 minutes to do this in. We've got $142 to raise this evening in order to meet Chris's Yellowknife Challenge. And then if that challenge gets met, Silent R. Lamar fills in the rest of the hole and we're done with the week. And that's 40 minutes and seconds from now, more or less, to take care of that. Because not a lot happens overnight.
Well, I've given you the context of the clown photo, and we've gone down memory lane with the radio job, so I'll hand it off to whoever's next.
Well, I was simply going to point out that clown photo shows up. That's in the same thread that ASUS started, and, you know, we're talking about photographs on the radio, man, talking about dancing about architecture. But that whole thread started with a photograph of a humongous monster truck setup that Asa ran across somewhere near his mansion, a stretch limo on top of a monster truck frame. And it's another one of those moments of, it's the damnedest things that get people's attention. Because, boom, and we were off and running. And there was some funny stuff going on that thread. In fact, Michael in Madison, who's probably off at a concert or something right now, Michael in Madison invented a subsidiary of Horn Nutraceuticals, Horn Fuel-Tuceuticals, a subsidiary of Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. And away we went. It was, And I got to admit, that monster limo that you'd have to have one of those extendable aluminum ladders to get into, that thing would be, that would be real big around here. But it was a beautiful thing.
The way that the remotes came up, somebody said it would look great at the horn radio remotes around the different little shopette centers and places.
Oh yes.
Now where was this, Scott? Was it down near the Eastern Shore? You said Southern Maryland.
It was Prince Frederick in Calvert County, Maryland. If you went one way, you would go a direct shot down Route 4 through Upper Marlboro and places like that, about an hour outside of the Beltway back in those days.
Oh, yeah. Good folks. Breed all of their own.
Oh, yeah. Southern Maryland. No place like it in the world.
Breed all their own. Are you working the Uncle Daddy side of the street tonight there, Steve?
Just making conversation radio there, brother. Yeah, Bob.
Yes, you are. Absolutely. Well, let's check in over with Billable Rick. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Bob.
Did you get the tickets?
Well, what I did is I bought them on Wednesday morning. They were going to be delivered to me by Thursday at 10:30 in the morning. So I basically sat home all day waiting for the tickets. At a certain point, I called and figured, okay, this is ridiculous. It's like 1:30. I'm going to give them a call. Found out that the tickets were delivered to the facility, the distribution center down in Anaheim, which is like 50, 60 miles away from where I live. And they said, we're going to be sending them to our facility in Sylmar, which is maybe 15 miles west of where I am, or not even 15 minutes west of where I am, okay, which is more convenient. And so, you know, they were going to guarantee it for delivery by 10:30 this morning. But based on their performance yesterday, we're talking, you know, they can't even get it delivered, you know, in one day within a, you know, metro area, you know. And so I said, okay, I better go pick them up myself before the trucks, where they won't leave it for you. You know, somebody has to sign for the package. And so I just got up a little earlier and got them first thing this morning in Sylmar at the center there. Cause I wasn't gonna, you know, I wasn't gonna risk not getting them. So should be a good show. I finally have them in hand.
Well, you're playing with dynamite. I mean, how old is Jackson Brown?
He's got to be about Tom Petty's age, I'm guessing. About 66, 67, maybe.
Well, I hope he hadn't been fooling with any opioids or anything.
Well, I'm gonna actually ask him to be sure he doesn't, like, party with, you know, bathtub fentanyl after the show, you know?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that I think is what got Petty, you know, the fentanyl. So...
Oh, speaking of the music business, though,
uh-huh.
I read a couple of, apparently there's a lot of celebrations about to take place or in process or whatever of mm-hmm. the legendary producer and musician Quincy Jones.
Oh, okay.
And I read, you know how once in a while you get hold of a really good piece of magazine writing? And you just can't, and it doesn't matter how long it is, you can't stop.
Yeah, like in the New Yorker, for example.
Well, this is an interview with Quincy Jones in GQ, and there's another one at Vulture magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And it just pulls you in. Mm. What a fascinating life. So anybody who loves the music business and loves music history, the GQ, particularly because it's long and it's footnoted, the GQ interview with Quincy Jones, man.
And there's nobody he has not met or worked with.
Oh, no. No, everybody. I mean, he and Ray Charles were teenagers running around together.
Wow.
He and apparently he and Ray did heroin together.
Jeez.
there's some stuff in there that's just funny, where he says, Ray was the sharpest man I ever knew. He said, he was blind, but he didn't use a stick, didn't use a little cup, no dog, no nothing. He got around, crossed streets, in traffic, whatever, he said, but let a few women get around, all of a sudden Ray's bumping into walls and shit, because that gets you a lot of sympathy. And then he just casually adds, Stevie does the same shit.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. Well, I guess he and Ray did heroin together when it was still safe to do it, right?
No, it wasn't safe to do it because he went on to mention that he said, how did I stop? I fell down 5 flights of stairs and nearly died.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I will never even think about for a second.
And Michael in Madison is not off at a concert this evening. Correcting the record, he notes, come on, Bob, it's pronounced just like it's written, horn fossil fuel tickles. So that's what it was. Horn Fossil Fuel Tickles, powered by Horn Fossil Fuel Tickles, a division of Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. All new Beautifuel, beautiful, clean, coal-based fuel for your extra large automobile vehicle. Yeah, that's what it is. Fossil Fuel Tickles. Horn Fossil Fuel Tickles, a subsidiary of Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yes.
That's a good one.
Oh, it was. It was indeed. But no, that was one of the coolest interviews I've written. GPS signal lost. You're lost, Rick.
Yeah, I've got my GPS on because I have to go to San Pedro. Right now, there's a 34-minute shutdown, they call it, on the 405 freeway, also known as the 6 7/8 by 100 or whatever you want to call it,
Yes.
So... Yeah.
So is anybody opening for Jackson Brown?
I'm sure there is. It's some sort of a benefit concert. I don't know if it's for a school for special needs kids or what it is. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be somebody opening for him. So the plan is I'm going to probably right now the traffic is saying 1 hour and 15 minutes just to go 27 miles. So if any of you Horn listeners are...
Well, that sounds like you're driving in West Virginia.
But
no.
But anyway, it's going to be 1 hour and 15 minutes. So I'm going to meet my friend, girlfriend at a brewery about a block and a half from the theater. And we're going to hopefully just be able to park our cars and go in there and have a beer, have a meal, and just leave our cars and then walk to the concert. So that's
well,
the
Rick.
Plan.
Rick, yeah. Tony Bennett's doing 2 shows in New York. For God's sakes, don't go.
Why is that?
He's so old he could fart dust. You'll kill him, man.
Actually, he survived. I actually saw Tony perform at Stevie Wonder's House Full of Toys annual benefit for kids, disadvantaged kids. People like bring a unwrapped gift and leave it outside of the venue, and he then helps to get it distributed. Tony Bennett actually sang a couple of songs at the concert, and he's still alive. And I actually saw him on TV not that long ago singing. So there you go.
He's doing a solo act, but tickets are like $300 a pop. I mean, I like him and everything, but not enough to drive today. Hey, Bob, you'll be there. Hop on in and see Tony.
Oh, there you go,
Bob. Rick, I want your secret. You have got to have some kind of gypsy love amulet. Or magic dust. Or
oh,
something.
Don't encourage him, Scott.
Every time I turn around, you're dating some new woman.
Oh no, this is I've been going out with her since October, actually.
Oh, okay, but I know in conversations past, you'll talk about who you're going to see, where what the venue is, what kind of size crowd it is, who the warm up act is, and then you'll mention just throwing it off casually of this new girl that you've been talking to.
Well, that's true.
And I'm thinking, Jesus, some of us are sitting here, you know, you talk about blowing up radio station balloons. Shit, where's my inflatable doll?
I don't want to burst any balloons, but Scott, you too can date a different woman every night if you send out, if you take your Bitcoin mining computer and repurpose it to sending out contact requests on computer dating sites, you know, to the tune of about 10,000 a day. Isn't that about how many it is, Rick?
You don't have to send that many out. As far as the doll, Scott, I was going to add that I was looking the dolls these days.
I was looking around. I think I saw your profile. It was labeled Nigerian Prince.
Oh, believe me, I've been scammed by lots of Nigerians.
Some years ago, I lost an inflatable woman by using helium. I filled her with helium because I wanted to try some new positions, and she floated out of an open window, and it broke my heart.
Well, see, the same thing sort of happened to me. I didn't realize she was inflatable at the time, but I went and bit her neck, and she squealed and flew out the window.
Yeah, well, mine was shot down over restricted airspace up in North Dakota somewhere.
Oh God.
We'll have to look for that article, Scott. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I haven't seen Jackson Browne since like 1978.
I'm a little more recent than you. The last time I saw Jackson Browne was 1983 or 84.
Okay.
At the West Virginia University Coliseum in Morgantown.
Mm. Did you enjoy him?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it was real good. And when he did the loadout, it was chilling. I mean, that's just a beautiful thing.
It's a great song
with Stay.
And he's not like one of these right wing asshats, you know, like Ted Nugent or Kid Rock or, you know, those sorts of folks, you know.
Well, that's true.
Let's just say.
And you're saving your Mickle powers to use on Kid Rock and Ted Nugent, right?
Well, somebody's going to have to, like, send me, you know, somebody's going to have to tell me when they're in town, because I'm not going to waste too much time tracking them down, you know? You know, I can kind of
Well,
do
I mean,
like
aren't they going to be playing together at that big festival out in the desert out there next year, Acicella?
There you go. Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, I got a million of them, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I guess a concert for Trump or something like that, right? For the Trumpanzees. Trumpanzee Nation.
Fundraiser.
Defense fund, you know?
Yeah, indeed. Well, hey, since it is kind of a short front porch, I want to make sure we get Clarity into the conversation. Hey, Clarity, I mean, we're talking music. This is your side of the street.
Well, I wikied Jackson Browne, and he'll be 70 in October.
You sit far back, Rick. You sit way back. I don't care if you got front row seats. We want those Sith powers diluted.
I'm in the balcony. Don't worry.
Okay, good.
And you were talking about Quincy Jones?
Yeah.
He played with Clifford Brown. And they did a bunch of sessions in Paris. He played with Clifford Brown. So, yeah, he's been around a long time.
And he talked about touring with Nat King Cole. You know,
well, the best stuff, in my opinion, that Ray Charles did was when he had the band with Quincy Jones and, you know, what eventually became the Tonight Show band almost. A lot of the cats that toured with, you know, Snooky Young and those cats ended up playing with the Tonight Show band.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give the whole thing away, but it's just a fascinating time capsule, entertaining read. You know, his take on Michael Jackson, God, his take on he's got a take on, you know, how Pablo Picasso paid his lunch bill, okay? I kid you.
Quincy's got class, you know. He stayed with his one of Stravinsky or somebody, you know. He studied the orchestration. He's, you know, he's a genius in every aspect of music. And he's not a bad trumpet player.
No, but that part does come into it. That's worth mentioning. He just can't pick up. He can't pick up the trumpet. If he plays the trumpet, he dies.
Yeah. Okay. He's got an aneurysm or something.
Well, yeah. He had two of them, and they fixed him and said, no, you just can't do this ever again. And
yeah,
he tried. And he tried once, and he got a terrible headache. And they said, yeah, that clip almost came loose.
Yeah.
That's.
Well, I've auditioning for Kenton Band and dying during the audition. Just drop over dead.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the Kenton book was really challenging for the brass, you know, trumpets. He wrote some really tough stuff as far as range.
You know who was a big Kenton fan back in the day? Is Mort Saul. I don't know if he still is, but he was at one time. And I never got the fascination about Stan Kenton. I just never did. I've tried listening to his stuff.
No, it's more like chamber jazz. It's not really swing. You know, it's not really related to dance. It's more related to almost a classical, you know, the way it's orchestrated, the way the rhythms are set up. It's just, you know, none of his stuff swings, really.
Well, if it's jazz and it doesn't swing or it's not cool, it's like, why bother? But that's just me, you know.
Yeah.
Well, here's a classic example, because I'm just a musical philistine. Let me see if I've got it here. He goes into talking about, 12 tone jazz and stuff like that. And I mean, there's very little he's ever done that I haven't absolutely loved. Pat Metheny. And probably my favorite Pat Metheny album is one called First Circle. And there's not a bad track on it, but the first one, this is 2 minutes and 49 seconds long, and I don't know if I've ever listened to all 2 minutes and 49 seconds of this. Because it makes me want to hurt myself. Okay, it's from the First Circle album. It's called Forward March, and I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but this is that kind of jazz I can't wrap my head around. Let's see here. It should come through for you guys. Okay, drums, cool. What? Is this the part where the band's tuning up? And that's, you know, that's the mild part. That's before it really gets going real good.
Was that the band or the dog in the kitchen being excited about being fed?
We didn't hear it, Bob.
You didn't get it?
We didn't hear
it. I thought I heard some horns briefly, but that was about it.
I think you're referring to that freeform jazz where everybody just sounds like they're doing their own thing.
No, it's that kind of jazz. It's that kind of jazz that sounds like it's so highbrow that actually being in tune is a bad thing.
you're talking about quarter tone, harmonic, diatonic,
atonal, dumping the silver, granny's old silverware on the pavement music.
Well, not only atonal, but microtonal. Our music's in half steps. Some of the Indians, they have as many as 12 different notes between what we call a step, like from A to B.
Oh, the stuff that's the stuff that sounds like a goat being tortured.
Well, it's an acquired taste, Bob. We were genetically trained on church music, and you know.
Well,
hey, I'm a Philistine. This is one of those things that gets people's attention, and now I'll get emails saying, you know, Bob, I can't believe a man like you would be such an uncultured, goddamn troglodyte Philistine that you're not into microtonal jazz, you asshole.
Talk about Quincy Jones working with so many people in his career. They refer to him as Ghetto Gump, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah. There's reference to that phrase because he's been everywhere that something was happening.
Yeah, but one of the little known collaborations was in the mid '60s. He teamed up with Stan Freberg to do a series of PSA promotions for the Radio Listening Bureau or whatever it was called. And the music was done by Quincy Jones and his band, and the vocal was done by Sarah Vaughan. And 50 years later, I mean, you can bring it up and play it. It runs about a minute. Who listens to radio? It swings, and it's engaging, and it's classic. I mean, it's just beyond great.
It sounds like somebody's very somebody with four legs is very excited in the background there.
Yes, she is. She's beside herself. It's Toto the Wonder Dog.
What's got her? Got her so worked up? Is there a cat outside or something? Or
no, just a little rubber ball.
Ah.
And it's a hardwood floor, so she's tap dancing.
Oh, it's a traction thing. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, she does four-wheel slides sometimes when she tries to reverse the directions.
Yeah, it's the real life manifestation of that thing that happens in cartoons, where somebody will run, where some character will run in place, you know, a million miles an hour and not go anywhere.
Yeah, accompanied by that bongo sound.
Anyway, what I was gonna mention about Stan Kenton was when I was. I can't remember what year it was. I think it was maybe 73, 74. There was a controversy because Stan Kenton had said, you know, that rock musicians suck. And I can't remember what exactly he said. And Ted Nugent decided he was going to represent rock. And
oh, dear.
He said, City of Glass, that's not music. Who listens to City of Glass? And that's when Maynard Ferguson was playing in the band. And anyway, it's pretty extreme, but it's one of his. But I can't remember what, yeah, if it was in Downbeat or one of the music magazines. And it was pretty funny at the time, you know, Ted Nugent trying to, you know, act like he knows everything about jazz and Stan Kenton, you know, getting under somebody's skin.
Well, you know what? His entire life was worthwhile, if only because he annoyed Ted Nugent for a little bit, and good for him.
Well, he inspired a lot of musicians. He broke, you know, some entry-level professionals that ended up, you know, teaching. And I knew a couple guys that played in one of the last bands he played in, two sax players I went to school with. But yeah, and they did clinics, you know, clinic concerts, you know, as they traveled around. So they, you know, they did some good work for the name of jazz. I'm sorry to see it go. You know, people just don't appreciate it. I don't know. I mean, you could play the same stuff in Europe, and people think you're, you know,
brilliant.
Yeah. And here you've got to just about tie them down to get them to listen to you.
Well, in my case, no, I mean, the out there's, you know, I'll give it a listen. I'm just too dumb to appreciate it.
Well, you know, it should tell a story. A solo shouldn't just sound like somebody throwing paintballs against the wall. You know, it should have some linearity to it and some form, you know, and structure to it, rather than just being, you know, regurgitating a bunch of ideas rather than, you know. But that's just my opinion. Some guys can play outside for a long time and still keep your ear. But after a while, it's overwhelming when all you're getting is new ideas.
But I think Clarity, you're absolutely right when you say that whether we know it or not, our ears are trained.
Oh, absolutely.
Even people who can barely play the radio, they've been hearing things a certain way.
Absolutely.
For their entire lives. We know that there are things out there that don't sound like what we expect them to sound like, because in broader form, there are moments when we make fun of it. I think, for instance, for people familiar with the reruns of the brilliant Addams Family series, comedy on TV, you know, Morticia and Gomez, and those moments when she'd sit there with that Japanese banjo, and she'd strum three notes that had absolutely nothing to do with one another, and then shriek, "Karu!" And all of this before Yoko Ono had ever made her first album.
It's an acquired taste.
It is.
Just like Bud Light, yes.
Well, I listen to a program, and you know where the greatest opera singers are coming from these days?
Where?
Mongolia.
Home of the throat singers.
Well, it's a couple things. It's physical, you know. They have so much wind from being at that altitude, and most of them are, herders. And anyway, it's become, I can't remember what the capital is, Lhasa? The capital of Mongolia.
No, Ulaanbaatar.
Okay. Well, it's become a cultural center, and people go there now to study music. And this one guy, he's won the international solo contest a couple times in a row, and he's just like in his early 20s. And it's amazing what they're doing over there. I think it was on BBC I listened to it.
Talk about when you play at this level, it's no ordinary venue. Wow. Ulaanbaatar.
Well, they attributed it to the cultural revolution in Russia that they, you know, tried to re-educate them. And what they ended up doing was sending all the dissidents there. And when Russia folded up, they had all these people that were naturally intellectual and free spirits, and they kind of build a community on the arts and that sort of thing. And it's taken off.
Wow.
So it's
actually kind of a good sign culturally for the world.
Oh,
back in the 70s, in that general region, the big thing was using 100-year-old residents to sell Dan and yogurt on TV commercials.
Yeah, weren't those Lithuanians or Estonians or something?
Georgians, and I don't know where that fits with Mongolia, but it's that.
It's a long way. You got to start early if you're going to get to Mongolia from Georgia. I mean, it's one of those Marco Polo kind of things.
The point is, basically, 40, 50 years ago, we're using that region of the world's residents to sell yogurt, bad yogurt at that, and today some of the great opera stars of the future are coming from there. So maybe we're making progress in some way.
Yeah, well, they're landlocked. That's part of it. You know, it's hard for
I think there's a giant statue of either Genghis Khan or Kublai Khan there in Ulaanbaatar. Why do I know? Because I wander off down these internet rabbit holes from time to time. But
and it is so faithful and fearsome looking that the pigeons don't dare light on it, much less leave a message on it.
Yeah, right.
Well, I guess.
But at least Logan Paul hasn't gotten there to, you know, bite the head off, electrocute a yak or anything yet.
Hey, speaking of Logan Paul, didn't he rip off Sparky's thing? Because I thought I remember he electrocuted a few of his shop rats, didn't he?
Well, yeah, that was. But you know, Sparky wasn't trying to monetize that. He just wanted to be shed of the rats.
Right, he just wanted them good and dead, like Nazis.
The electric chair.
Yeah. Raticide, well, I guess you'd call it, right? When you kill a rat, yeah.
God, I love Friday on the Front Porch. This conversation could go on for another hour easy, but I do have to knock off pretty quickly, and we're still at that $142 mark. Trying to meet Chris's Yellowknife challenge. Chris sent a note saying one love. So and also sent me a photograph of the ice road. And this, you know, I get to travel with you guys because of the photos you send me. Yesterday in Gameti, Gameti, Northwest Territories, looking out from an aircraft looking down at the ice road through this vast monochromatic landscape broken only by the pale yellow of the distant sky. Wow. But it would be awesome if we could get that challenge met, because then I get to send a note to Silent R. Lamar and he finishes it off, and we don't have a hole to fill in come Moran Monday. Right. But yeah, go ahead. You were going to say something, Steve?
Bob, yeah, if I may digress a bit, if anybody out there is trying to wrap their head around about what you're referring to, Crimson, it's off in the Court of the Crimson King called 21st Century Schizoid Man. At the very end of that song, it devolves into freeform jazz, so...
Oh yeah, and you can hear some of it in Zappa too.
Believe of what you're trying to refer to.
Yeah, Zappa was, he heard notes in his head that some dogs haven't even heard yet.
Well, I've seen Robert Fripp in concert, and the things he did with the guitar were just unimaginable.
Is he still around?
Yep.
Okay.
He's making sound bits for Microsoft. You know, when you fire up your computer, there's little jingles you hear. A lot of that's him.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Things we learn
on the porch, man.
Is that the part where we yell, sell out?
Yeah. Hey, it goes back to the beginning of the conversation, as long as the check clears, right?
Because, I mean, I've heard in the Court of the Crimson King, and at least he's not responsible for, you've got mail. I do know a woman whose career involved saying things like fourth floor, seventh floor for the elevator voices for a certain elevator company. 12th floor. Maybe there's one on Wall Street, you know. 97th floor, jump, you fucker.
it's time.
But I had a note, a follow-up note from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve on the Gulf Coast. Subject line, irrational market. Explaining his previous note, he said, not to beat a dying bull. Wait a minute. Yeah, I got a low-grade jingle for that. But this is the gist of what I meant. And this would if this topic would take us the rest of the next hour. When we allow the market to correct itself, we are letting it liquidate all of our labor into the unregulated excess of its no pay to play scheme. In other words, a Wall Street correction is money being taken away from working people. In fact, we're supposed to correct it by virtue of converting that loss into the commonwealth held by all. I believe that is over $1 trillion with the latest all-too-foreseeable correction. The point of this is not that the players don't reap profit, only that such a democratic market is what regulated capitalism actually is. Everywhere but here, of course. I mean also that we've generally been indoctrinated to believe that it is indoctrinated to believe that a solution is near impossible, but then Americans don't see so much of the world unless they're rich. I get that. And there is indoctrination, and only the market can fix the market, unless we have to dig deep into our pockets to save it, and then nobody goes to jail. So, yeah, that's very well explained.
Well, last night, that's one of the reasons I was up late, watching this series Dirty Money on Netflix.
Yeah.
And last night I watched the segment about the pharmaceutical company that got into no small amount of hot water for its business practices. And they pinpointed some other companies as well. That's the tank of sharks that you get into if you go into the market. I mean, for as many good companies as there might be, responsible companies, ethical companies, so-called, you've got these people who just absolutely have dead eyes and no hesitation whatsoever to fuck people over to a fare-thee-well.
And that's about the size of it. And with that, Scott, I will give you the last word. Thank you very kindly to Billable Rick and Clarity and Steve from Georgia Stan and Scott for joining in Friday on the front porch this evening. It was a lively conversation. I apologize for the truncated version of this Friday on the front porch, but gotta go because, here in about an hour's time, I'll be putting the spark to the campfire over in the world of the Malloy Truth Seeker Brigade. I hope you'll join in. Remember, the chat room will remain open if you want to jump in over there via either headon.live or headonradionetwork.com. And remember, please, if you're gonna listen as I fill in for Mike, please listen via Progressive Voices. Of course, there won't be any video because I got a face made for radio. But I look forward to it, and I'll talk to y'all very, very soon. Thanks, everybody, who has done so much to get us so close to being finished with fundraising for the week. Another $142, we meet the challenge, and then Silent R. Lamar kicks in the last 118. So understand that was not met by the end of the program. If anybody wants to do anything about it between now and, the end of the weekend or whatever. But that's where we stand. And hopefully the challenge will not go unmet. Because otherwise, I don't even want to think about what the number is on Monday. Thanks to all of you who do keep the program on the air. Thank you so very kindly. Thank you, Charlene and Angel, this evening. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you, Chris, for making the challenge. And thank you to Silent R. Lamar for offering to finish it off. Thank you to everyone who spends your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. You're why it exists, plain and simple. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you this evening to pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator Steve from Georgia Stan, all-around great guy. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk in about an hour.